phela mina ngiyinsizwa mina ngiyinsizwa.
Well, alrighty then. Welcome to it. It's another episode of the Shady Podcast. Today, lovely conversation we're going to have. It's about the money, the coins, because money matters. But before we get into it, of course, my name is Shady of the podcast. And that guy is Madubela.
You know that we've got a beautiful lady in studio, by the way PH introduces the show. Usually he's like, Shosho Makenge. Usually does it like sitting on the couch, like on this part. Now today he's like, hi, welcome.
Welcome, Sonny Bonani. Hello, how are you? We have in the building Nicolette Mashile. We want to talk everything, dollar, coins, money, Jailed. Yeah. How are you, Mama? You good?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Alive and kicking.
We invited you here today because personal friends of ours have just won the bid to take over the lottery.
Oh,
so PH and I are expecting big money very soon. And we need to know where to put it.
Hold on. I thought because we're aspiring millionaires, now we want financial.
No, you're on the other side. Yeah? You're inside.
I don't have.
No, when I read the article, I said,
we're moving.
We are moving.
It's time.
Yeah? Didn't you see Mama School? I was like, yo, eat that dude up.
I almost died over the weekend because I'm telling Mama School. I was looking for money in a mining town called Kriel.
Oh,
Kriel, huh?
Kriel. I was in Kriel.
Yeah?
I was in Mpumalanga looking for coins. I was DJing them.
Okay, I was going to say, good.
But nothing to do with mining.
Mining's taken a hit.
Yeah. I was in Kriel and there's... on the way there, there's like two places that are popular with like, what's this thing? Well, the equivalent of a mine, but they've got potholes.
Yeah.
But now there's one.
Zama.
The one pothole stretches like both sides of.
Across the whole street.
Yeah.
Right? And my driver, we're driving there. I think we're going to get there like 10 minutes before our set. So we're driving at a steady pace. We see in a from a distance, there's a car on the side of the road. I'm like, ish, this guy must have like gotten off the side on the road.
Maybe he's fixing something.
This guy was avoiding this road, this pothole. We're there moving, but my one something, bro. We couldn't avoid that thing. Like you
bang.
It's as if I look to the right, he looked to the left for an option. Bang. We're like, hey, and there's a car oncoming. All you heard, you know that it's like very painful. And then there's silence in the car.
Like yay!
Yeah, you know, so we hit it. But luckily, I drive a German car.
Okay.
But we made it alive. So thank God I'm here.
But apparently the quicker you go over a portal, the better.
Yeah. I'm not
Depends.
Trying to...
Remember when the car, like when your wheels are touching the ground, the idea is you're doing like low flying.
Yes.
So you're not... You're not on the road. You're on the road. You're sort of scooting across the surface.
Yeah.
But if depends on the pothole. Sure. You know, like your front wheels might make it over.
Yeah.
The back wheels hit. Or alternatively, remember the engine is at the front. Yeah. Sometimes braking when you see the pothole.
It doesn't help.
Because you're like, that force of the downforce.
Yeah.
So then you actually put those wheels into that hole even harder.
I woke up with a flat tire on Saturday.
Is it?
I don't know why, but...
What happened? Were you also in Kriel?
Were you the car that was on the side of the road that we drove past?
No.
Were you in the Omoda?
Economic indicator.
Was that you in the cherry?
No, I was actually trying to overtake a car there by waterfall, so I could see my lane was going to end. But now, as I overtake, the road goes, oops. So it's like a little shit.
Yes.
And I went.
This is exactly, bang. I know exactly where you were.
Yeah, right? By the two.
Virgin Active is on your left.
Yes.
Yes.
Were you coming from the top or going up?
I was going up.
So I went, yeah.
Like a bang.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Waterfall Corner was on your left. And Polo Fields was...
Yeah.
And you just continued home.
Yeah, I apologized to my car for 2 seconds.
Yeah, and you were like, I am not stopping.
When I woke up, it was literally on its haunches. And I was like, okay, new tire. What do you do?
It could be worse.
I
once... I was in... Hey, but that time I used to drive a Tez. You know, the economy was not the same.
Got a peck.
No, but it was like a fast Tez. It was like a race car Tez. I used to be colored. To simplify this explanation. So I had these rims on the car.
Okay.
I think it was a 17 or 18 inch Ikilmesh, you know. It should be quite a ghetto colored as well. You won't understand. The profile of the tire, angithi the rims were big.
Yeah.
So the profile of the tire, minji.
Sure.
So anything that you hit would damage the rim.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know the expansion plates on the highway? Like Joburg went through the season of anything that was metal was recycled for scrap.
Yes.
So sure. These guys were stealing the expansion plates, manhole covers, stuff like that.
Hectic.
So this is on the M2 highway. They'd taken the expansion plates. It's those plates that you go over. They go right. They took the caca out. So it was a hole in the road. But like you were saying about a pothole, it wasn't a round one.
Yeah.
It was square. Except, bro, I hit that thing. That time I'm drunk. I'm driving back from a gig in the east. I think being package healing.
Of course, stand practice.
Yeah, go, go.
You know? Sober same
and
time.
I'm like, oh, what the hell? You know? All four tires. Flat.
Oh, no.
Front two rims bent.
Oh, no.
Now we stuck there. And you know the story, my man. Ish. Now when you're moving with the package, you know what I mean? It's takeaways. You can't buy McDonald's now. You have to eat the McDonald's now.
I don't know.
So now I'm stuck now with this thing. This thing is expiring. The sun is going to rise.
The patient's Dracula. Is that the day you decided to stop being
colored? Bro, that's the day I decided to stop packaging. Because I was like, yo, the sun is going to come up. The sun is going to burn.
Wow.
Hey, I'm stuck.
Your priorities were
bro,
cooked.
Bro, I had to call a tow truck.
Yeah.
You.
Speaking of
Anyway, I enjoyed that McDonald's.
I was saying, speaking of burning, before we get into the show, if you're a soccer fan, sorry, Sundowns. Sorry, DJ Naves.
Oof.
First and foremost. Sorry, DJ Naves. Sundowns lost, I think, on aggregate 3-2 to Pyramids.
In the pyramid, oh, yes, the pyramid. Oh, bro, Egyptian. They're staying at the hotel there next to my house.
Oh, you rich
guy. No wonder
they
were in high spirits.
Yeah, so they lost the CAF final, so harder to our bras in Pretoria from Mamelodi Sundowns. But did you see how hectic PSG...
Yo, dude.
That 5-0 victory. Look, are you soccer?
Do you watch soccer?
I am, but I can't tell you which team I support.
What's his name?
I'm a real football fan.
You're not there for the boys.
Yeah, okay. No. I don't like their skinny legs.
I love that.
I'm not a skinny leg person.
Okay.
Skinny legs, soccer guys.
Yeah,
I find they've got solid legs, but they've got skinny tops.
They're like
cranial.
It's guys that don't.
It's their toes. Their toes are like, hey, the dogs are biting. You know what I mean? Have you seen Ronaldo's toes? Even if you're Ronaldo, chief. Soccer boots damage your feet in the front.
Yeah.
So, no.
It's tricky.
Soccer players, it's what I've heard from girls. I haven't been looking at soccer players' toes.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I also can't be judgmental about toes because mine have many conversations.
Okay, covered. No, I'm even like...
No, you'll never see my toes. Like, they're always covered.
Okay.
How are we looking?
Well, I'm a big fan of toes, so let's get off this topic.
But half of Paris almost went down.
Yo, bro. And they won
5-0.
So, yeah.
Dian? There's a video.
Yeah, roll the tape.
Do you have a video for us there?
Looking at the streets of Paris right now, you'd think that PSG lost 5-0 last night. But no. This is how some fans celebrated the club winning the first Champions League in its history.
Unbeknownst to them, they have their celebration.
I guess they looted stores, destroyed bus stands, set fire to bins and vehicles, and then just left them burning in the streets. And of course, filled with joy, they set off fireworks and flares. But it gets worse. These celebrations weren't only limited to Paris. Disruptions and serious vandalism was reported across the country. A car plowed into PSG fans in Grenoble, leaving 4 injured. A 17-year-old boy was stabbed in the chest. 192 people were injured, including 22 police officers and 7 firefighters. Nearly 600 people were arrested, and 5,300 police had to be deployed using tear gas and water cannons to control the celebrations. Bro, 2 people died in all of this. Can someone explain France to me? Because winning has never looked so apocalyptic.
Look.
Yeah. Apocalyptic
for me, I think a lot has been happening in France. But I think that's the result of your president getting slapped by
his dad.
I stopped.
Not by his dad.
I stopped. I was choosing my words.
You watch that series. You know what I mean.
I was going to say something.
Candace Owens knows what I mean when I say, Yabo Babu Ako. You cannot disrespect Babu Ako. So, Pam Guake. Wait. So Lucky like, you didn't get
it,
the bell.
Is it the who's your daddy slap? Or is it the...
No, it didn't look like that.
Sorry, Baba.
Baba. The head of the home, bro. Kind of...
That is embarrassing.
So, yes, we still need visas. Mm.
Yeah, that, you see, that's what I'm trying to choose my. I'm not going to
Paris under these circumstances.
We need to go.
I'm still trying to go to Europe in summer. So this is what happens when your president gets dealt with on television.
Yeah, no. Let me choose on a my private words. Jet.
Yeah. Yes.
Look, in the comments, some people, I don't know if they're from France, so just, you know, full disclosure. this guy said, you show what you want. I was there. Many people were in Paris just to enjoy, be happy, and celebrate.
Sure.
Another one said, these people aren't even football fans. I was there. These people didn't even watch the match. They're just rioters who wait for any small opportunity to do what they want and break things. Another one said, 99% non-French.
Ooh. Mm. That's true.
Yeah, boy. Now that comment
immigrants
on the comments has got 411 replies to the comment. You know, sometimes with topics like this, I know the French avoid it, most of Europe avoids it, but no, que problème, Daddy. Mm.
Well,
but that's what you get for colonizing.
I was getting it when half your team is not even French locals,
exactly,
so. You know?
Look, you know what the other thing is? Yes, that's what you get for colonizing, but can I be honest? A lot of the people that are doing that stuff are not even from the colonized countries. You know what I mean? A lot of the colonized country people, they come there, they're like, yo, golden opportunity, let's operate.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's those other ones from that side. You see, the Middle East, Syria, those countries where...
Algeria, so...
No, Algeria at least is still here. Yeah. It's with us. It's Syria. Shit all countries, man. I don't know. You know,
saying like Algeria has a lot of French...
Yes, Algeria has a lot of French... There's a lot of Congolese people.
Of course.
A lot of the French football team is made up of, you know, Ivorians, Congolese, Senegalese, Cameroonians, you know what I mean? Former French colonies. Yeah. But bro, them, Abeko Lapane, you saw those people rioting there. Those ones are looking like they're from here. You know what I'm saying? They're looking like they're from the Cape. I think I know some of those. But it's sad because obviously, you know, like, PSG, like I said, they also won 5-0. It's cause for celebration.
Yes.
I mean, I was watching, I was out. So the match was playing on the screens. I was out. Where was I? I think, what's this? Maracana.
Sure.
And when I saw it was 2-0. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, you know, they won 2-0. Lekker. When I saw the riot videos, it was when I went onto Twitter. Then I'm like, yo, what the hell? You know what I mean?
What the hell?
I'm thinking, maybe they caught up and they beat them 3-2.
So the people
are angry. Because if this is what they do and they're happy, like what are they going to do when they're angry? But sometimes I also think people just jump onto a riot. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Got
you. Online, man. If there's something to break, I'm also kicking it.
Yeah, so...
we'll get caught. We'll make an example.
But we obviously, like you said in the beginning, we have an awesome guest in the building and we're going to be speaking Money Matters.
Yay.
Can I say that? Yeah, Money Matters or everything that has to do with Cyril's economy.
And I think people need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm actually...
Kwanje, what's that tagline about financial whatnot? We're not at the end of an ad.
Which ad?
We're not
any ad, man. Which when they say T's and C's apply, but before the T's and C's apply, we're not a financial institute, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
Kwanje, what do they say?
They say, isn't like FSP?
FSP, yeah. Something along those
lines. It is financial services provider.
I wanted to say that before. Before we get into this.
But you say this is not financial.
So we are not an FSP.
Yes.
We're not giving financial advice for educational purposes.
Yes.
On the ads, they usually say, like if it's a bank, it'll say, this bank is a financial services provider.
I want to butcher
based on risk profile dependence.
Shady Podcast is not a financial services provider.
And this advice is based on risk profile dependence.
Yes.
If you are poor, you are poor.
No, we're giving no financial advice.
Yeah, bo, guakho nje, you know, mangu pampile, gu pampile.
Sure. Yeah. So if as Kali and when spend on girls irresponsibly and you're looking for financial advice, yeah, this might not be the place.
This is also not a
Make
sermon
sure
by Hubert Angel or Bushiri. Imalangeki vele nje. out of nowhere. Absolutely. So please, Nicolette.
How first and foremost, how did you get into, you know, anything that has to do with money? Let's talk background or why money?
Like, yeah, because most people would think it's boring.
Yeah.
I studied finance and economics. I studied BCom investment management. Oh, it was boring as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm. So how I got into this space, I made a mistake.
This is great.
Okay.
Usually
you also
how you start.
Studied investment management.
No.
I made a mistake too. Now I'm here.
No, so I tried to buy a house and signed the offer to purchase. Ish. And then when the banks came back with the deal was nonsensical.
Mm.
I mean, I was looking for, I think, 2,750,000 rand for a home, and they were willing to give it to me. But over 30 years, my loan multiplier was 3.5. So my total cost of credit was almost 8 million.
I was about to say 6 mil. What?
Yeah, I was like, come on, guys.
Yo, where was this home? Bantry Bay?
No, please. Worse. Go Randbergie.
Randbergie. That's your first mistake.
You get what I'm saying? But it was a beautiful house. And I'm from Bushbuck Ridge.
Go Randbergie.
Anything upstairs, nailing upstairs.
Okay, yeah.
Very important to a child from Bushbuck Ridge.
Yes.
You understand? So, and it had pillars. The house was being supported by pillars.
Pillars? Gotta have pillars.
Come on.
Come on, Bushbuck Ridge, stand up.
Come on, pyjama lounge.
An idiot.
You just described the route from here to Sun City. Pillars.
Pillars everywhere.
Yeah. No gate.
Believe it.
Sure. No wall.
Yes.
Pillars. No door.
Pillars.
So yeah, so I signed the offer to purchase. It had a suspensive clause that said any bank that's willing to give you any loan, you'd now become legally bound to buy the house.
Right.
So yeah.
What?
So most of offer to purchases have that suspensive clause in them. But the problem is you don't know what you don't know.
What's it called? A suspensive clause.
Suspensive clause, yes.
Meaning, if you back out of the deal and say, I don't want this house anymore.
So what the first sentence in that suspensive clause usually, or something that precedes it, would usually say there's nothing that is hindering you from getting this loan.
Mm.
And then you say yes, right?
Oh.
Then they say, okay, now that there's nothing hindering you from getting this loan, you're saying you're able to successfully get a loan of this much from any of the banks.
Yes.
On any terms and conditions.
Yeah, the funds have been allocated.
Yeah, and you are saying yes. Then they give you a date by which you need to get the loan.
So
if you go to the banks and the banks all decline you, you can back out of the deal because there is no one willing to give you the loan.
Mm.
But the moment there's someone, that means the suspensive clause has been fulfilled because now there is a grantee who's, a bank who's willing to grant you the loan.
Guarantor.
So they're saying, yes, we will back Waraza.
That's a trap.
Yes. So if you don't, what you need to do is to actually edit the suspensive clause and say, I only want these two banks. I wanted this interest rate or I want it over.
And failing to meet those criteria.
Failing to meet those conditions, the loan is not,
Is this, have you gotten a pre-approval from the bank? Because now I want to check something. Is this how they lock you in?
No. So remember, pre-approval is nothing. It's not commit. It doesn't commit you to anything.
What I'm saying is to counter this thing or you don't fall in this trap, wouldn't you get a pre-approval or...
The thing is, even if you have a pre-approval, it's always going to be dependent on the real, true assessment of your affordability and credit score, right? Now, the problem is, you may get a pre-approval of, let's say you got a pre-approval of 1.5 million.
Okay.
Then the bank come back and they say, we'll give you 1.5 million, but only over 30 years because you're a first-time buyer.
Yes.
But now over 30 years, that extra 10 years from 20 makes your total cost of credit far more expensive.
Because now you're paying 8 million.
Yes. Now the numbers don't make sense.
Yeah. Damn.
So even though, you can afford the 1.5, right? The problem is the structure of the deal.
Gotcha.
So that was my problem. The structure was not making sense. But remember, I said yes with my little head. I was like, yes, I can get a bank.
Yeah, I want these pillars.
I want these pillars, you know? And then, but what I was lucky enough was when we actually did a little bit more digging, we found out that the bond originator had actually cooked some of my numbers. No, they cooked them.
Okay.
Remember, bond originators have relationships with banks.
That's
their job. Their job is to get a sale for the bank.
Yes,
they make it sound like they're working for you. And I know now if they're watching, they're like, oh, this girl always says...
She's exposing us.
She always hates But the reality is a bond originator always puts it that they're working for you to get you a loan. But in reality, they're the same as car dealerships. Car dealerships' jobs are to originate loans for banks.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got even a built-in... percentage that they come, you will get from the bank
11%. A built-in incentive, yeah.
Yes, they'll come back and say the bank gave you 13%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing fully well. Yeah, so
wow.
So when I then found that out, I went back to the bank and I said to the bank, well, look, guys, you know, this person has cooked my numbers for me to qualify for this loan. So the bank was like, okay, we'll rescind the loan. However, I got charged out of court because we tried to settle out of court because these guys were now sending demand letters.
Yeah, but.
Yes, so I got charged the potential loss of income when they took the house off the market.
Mm.
So that 4 days that they took the house off market because I was going to buy.
But
I think even Thingy had a similar issue. The soccer player, what's his name?
Asmaz,
West Rand, man. I just know he lives in the West.
Ah, bong, but Sale West Rand.
Oh, hectic.
The short one.
No hate to the soccer players. Sounds like a lot of them.
He's a presenter now.
Sounds. I lost one. What did you say? Lost
the old short.
Darkish one.
Oh, I thought you said
I think in his book, he also writes about a similar situation.
Teko.
Okay. Teko.
Teko Modise. Oh. I know, easy. I know.
That's
he's
our guy.
Yeah. So, he's made a lot of the right choices.
Yeah, sure. So a lot of people fall into that trap where you don't actually know what to look for in the offer to purchase. It's your first time signing one.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And you just want a home. I think out of your story, and it's not to say, like you said, these guys are watching, the ones who are incentivized to sell these loans. It's not to say, cancel all of them. They are forex traders. But it is to say, enter with your eyes open.
Yes.
Because you as the home buyer, you just want a home. Or you want a property. You think you're investing in property,
Absolutely.
It's the dream that we all sold.
Yes.
I want to jump in there.
Yeah.
Right? On that dream. And we'll carry on now.
PH got trapped. He wants to tell you about the house he bought in Cosmo City.
I will get there. Nonsense. What I wanted to ask, growing up, we're always taught, buy property.
Yes.
Right? And in the society that we live in today, or economy that we live in today, that becomes a very hard thing to do when there's a lot of moving parts. Our lives move quicker than, what our parents did. Mm. Is renting throwing money away, or is it a suitable way of living versus getting into
a trap?
A 30-year trap where I've now got this house in Cosmo. I've now got this house in Cosmo and I'm now paying this bond and everything else that you're talking about and the hidden costs of
transfer fees,
homeowners, COJ, this, that, and the other,
And bad tenants.
Listen, I had to fetch keys yesterday.
Yeah.
Bad
tenants.
So in my new book, there's a chapter called
Yes, girl, Depends. please push push that right in. Push that right in.
It's still coming, guys. Okay. So there's a chapter called It Depends. And I think, so I started, which was going to be part of the previous answer, right? I started doing my postgrad diploma in financial planning. So I don't have a background in finance. So, I did my postgraduate diploma in business administration. So you learn economics and all that. But actual proper financial planning I had never done until this year. And the one thing I realized from doing that course is that everything and anything in personal finances, the answer is always going to be it depends.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because a set of circumstances can make renting a waste of money. Mm-hmm. And then another set of circumstances can actually
just make it the one for you.
Absolutely. Mm. So it's all of us, we'd have to look at our own personal finances and say, not as Nicolette.
Okay.
Is renting the right thing for me right now, or actually is ownership the right thing for me right now?
Okay.
But there's also the other side that you could potentially think that buying a house is the right thing for you and then go buy badly.
Because
I think people don't realize that you can buy property badly.
Yeah.
Yes. Rope us back into obviously now your experience that you were talking about of this now rescinding and court and this, that, the other. Yeah.
Okay. So then, that happens. So I settle out of court. I paid out of my pocket from my own savings, and I think that was a very real life lesson that I experienced. And at that point, I then realized. I had just finished my first degree.
Mm.
I was doing fairly okay financially.
You were working.
I was working. Yeah. I was in a good space.
Sure.
But I realized how little I knew. Sure. About finances, about how to buy a car, how to buy a house, how to invest, you know.
And would you say you'd been misled? Because the only thing you knew was advice from other people.
Tell me, I didn't even have that advice from other people.
Like, blind, yeah.
I think a lot of us actually have our heads in the sand. We're like, we've got that ostrich bias, you know. Gotcha. Finance is not a thing.
Gotcha.
It's just that, you know, it's about you must use money to buy things.
In black homes, we're not taught money.
We're not taught
money.
What's even more terrible is that our relationship, though, is still being formed.
Yeah.
So you're not being taught on the one side.
Sure.
But it doesn't negate the fact that you are building a relationship with fully. Money. Mm. Because in the absence of the education, you are kind of filling the gaps with whatever it is 100%. That you're filling. Mm. So the language that is being used, the sentiments that are being thrown around about banks. Oh, your mother's telling you, I hate the banks. Mm. So I think that was also part of the problem was that. And then I also came from a family where my father demands with his whole heart excellence.
Sure. Sure.
So even buying the house at that point, if I sit back now and think about it, it wasn't even, you know, pressure is a nice word. It was more like the only way to get his approval and validation is if you got do you. Well.
Ish.
And I think also
like coming home and saying, I've got this good job, I've got the night. Yeah, he'll be like, where's the house?
Yes. Because in fact, just before I went to buy the house, I had to buy a car.
The
car that I was driving wasn't mine. My sister had another story. My sister had bought a car for her man, and then her man stopped paying. Hey, story over story.
Niggas ain't shit.
We'll get to that episode. She bought a car for her man. The man was not paying.
So I went and took over that car, and then so I had to buy my first car. So I called my dad. I'm like, again, the validation. You know, trauma, childhood trauma. I'm buying a car. You think he'll be proud of you? He said to me, okay, Zamoreka. I think at that time he said I must buy a Picanto. I was like, no. Do you know Joe McPherson? Come on. You kicked straight to the polls, and then it was a thing of, and that conversation just threw me off. So then when I said, I'm going to buy a house, it was really, I feel like deep in my heart, it was to get that validation from him to say,
you messed up with this Kiroko.
But I still have it. It still looks brand new, though.
But you messed up with this Kiroko purchase. It was like, ish.
Absolutely. But, oh, man. Good times.
You still have it.
I still have it.
It's you are responsible.
Yeah, I still have it. And a lot of people want to buy it.
No, and now the collection is open.
We can talk after this.
So that's also a very good investment.
Yeah. Unless you can pay me what I bought it for.
How much?
I bought it for $569.
Ain't no way.
Yeah,
a car from what, 2012?
$569. Well,
2015.
20. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was the last one.
Yeah, the last one.
Kiroko R.
Yeah, the R.
Brand new.
That was the last one.
That's interesting because the equivalent model of car is double the price now.
Yes, the engine is.
It's a GTI motor. Yeah.
Let's talk.
We'll talk.
My turbo still works. Everything still works.
Yeah.
Show you the ones who drive like this food.
Yeah, it's just low, hey.
Yeah?
It's low.
No, I always wanted that car.
Is it?
It's
a cute little car. When it's done.
And you never, why didn't you ever sell it?
I kept it until 2020. So I drove it until 2020.
And then the motor plan?
Did I even run off the motor plan? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But I had other dreams. Mm. So I bought a new car and then I parked it. So I didn't trade it in.
Right.
I had bought it and then I bought it cash.
Oh, I was going to say, because you paid
technically,
it
I didn't buy it cash. I bought it on finance for the first couple of months and I was like, nah, this is stupid.
Let me squash it.
Yeah, let me just squash this thing. So I went, took some money from my savings, squashed it. So it was paid off from when I started driving it. So now it's parked there by my house. Cute.
I want to say something. We'll talk offline about this Kiroko.
Yeah.
No, and I think a lot of people have made the mistake or the bad purchase, whether it's a car or rental. And I think as you were talking, I was like, I remember getting 16% from a bank that I bank with all my life, you know, for a car. And I was like, hey, yo. But at the time, I was like, I want this car.
Yeah.
You know?
So the 16% didn't matter.
I'll see it. But like, you know, fortunately enough, I was able to change cars and get a better deal, you know. But one of the biggest things And in fact, I think the biggest lie on earth is I agree to the terms and conditions because we don't read anything.
Yes. But can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you even actually see the 16% or did they show you what you're going to pay?
No. So here's the thing. Yeah. I know this guy and I know him very well. But this is when I realized that these guys don't have your best interest in
no.
heart.
Yes.
This guy was acting like, yo, I'm trying to get to this car, other, you know, and this bank is saying this, but let me, you know, I've got a guy. And he's like, hey, chap.
Funny how we've all heard the same thing.
You were going to pay this, but I've reduced it to this, right? And it's like, all I'm looking at is this two-door, first of its kind.
Yeah.
I think the two series had just arrived.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was going to be one of the first people to get it. But long story short, I'm just like, give me the papers, dog. And you're sitting there. You're just signing.
Yeah.
You're
just explaining shorthand. Yeah. Yeah. Every page has got like 3,000 words. You know? Like, this one is just for
just
insurance.
Just initial,
This one is just, you know,
baby
the number plates.
Little things where you must
you know? Mm? And then I think they even gave me that grace of like, no, first, I think, as if, I don't know if it's first 30 days or 60 days where no it's payment. Like, no payment. I'm like, yo, we are good.
But they're charging you.
You know? And then next thing, gah, installment. I'm like, hey, yo, like six. I think it was like 16K. And the initial number that we had spoken about was 3-4 grand less, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, I think I tried my best to get rid of that car as soon as I realized the financial mistake that I had made. But the biggest thing was that I never read. It was all you do is sign. You're I agree saying, yeah. to the terms
I actually
conditions.
Found it interesting that you read. I mean, I'd never even heard of it. I didn't even know that's a thing.
I got it after, and it was in hindsight when I made the mistake.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that's the problem. The problem is, if you were to walk up to a normal person right now, I can even say choose the person that you think is really educated and ask them, what is the total cost of credit of your car? They don't know.
Yeah, off the top of their
head. They don't know. And it's because
I can tell you
people are doing the
calculation. No. Now, obviously, after being burnt after all these years.
Yeah. But many people, what they're shown is what they're going to pay every month. Then in their head, they're like, I can manage. 12,000. I can manage 12,000.
Yeah.
Sure.
But they don't realize that, you know, the longer your, first and foremost, the longer your credit agreement is, the more you pay.
Sure.
Yes. So all of a sudden now, we've got banks introducing 84 months. 84 months, guys, to pay for a car.
How long is that?
It's silly. Let's just talk psychology in general.
Yeah.
The moment you buy a car, within 6 months, you don't want it anymore.
Yeah,
true.
You already done
the novelty
with it.
Has worn off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the chances of you keeping it for that long are like...
That's 7 years.
Very little.
I change cars like I change underwear.
And people do that. A lot of people actually do that.
In fact, I think banks hate me because when they see me come, it's like, fuck, this guy again. You know? No. Because I've also learned that, you know, there's serving the ego.
Yes.
This is a
reality.
This is a reality. Absolutely. And then there's the reality of finances. And I think through the many years of making some mistakes, and we all make mistakes, I've then obviously realized that, yo, there's what my ego wants and what I can afford, right? And then it's how... I've got a friend who's like, how do we best...
You find the sweet spot.
Yeah, no, but not even that. How best do you piss off the banks?
Oh.
In terms of... So there's many dances that we've done in terms of how do we get this thing, but we're going to, you know...
Hammer them,
whether it's capital reductions or capital, whatever it is, you know. But even there,
you
then learn that, hey, maybe a capital reduction is not the best thing to do. Yeah. But there's ways of maybe beating the interest where you're paying way more, smaller chunks up front, you know, but... It's through terrible purchases,
absolutely.
Firstly. I think terrible mistakes, but also then the willingness to understand the value of money. And this is the choice that I've made with the responsibility of obviously, you know, earning more money.
Yeah.
You kind of have to sit and say, look, there's my current reality, and then there's
what
the future, you know? There's a future, and the decision that you make now will affect that.
Absolutely.
Stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
So I've learned, is what I'm trying to get at, is that I've learned...
you have to pay
the value
fees.
Of money.
Learned by experience.
Yeah, I've learned
but
the value of money.
Would you say, then sort of, because how did you get to here? Did it become your mission to say, Let me try and educate as many people as possible to not make those mistakes.
Sure. Yeah. So when I started,
because you don't have, you're not like those salesmen. You see, you don't have.
I don't have anything. An incentive. Yes. Which is actually what makes my job, I always say, sometimes a little bit easier. And I often get frustrated with guys who work in the finance space because I'm like, you guys should be doing this.
Yeah,
work.
Protecting people.
But I realize that they can't because
they need to earn money.
Yes. The reality is they're going to have to be biased to a certain area or biased to a certain asset or biased to a certain product.
Sure.
So I then realized that we have to educate people. We have to educate them. So when I started, it wasn't a thing. It was really just put out information. I loved talking. I mean, I'm sure it's obvious now. and I liked educating. I actually was a teacher at some point in my life. Yes, okay. I was a teacher. So it kind of came together. At some point, I thought it was a spiritual thing because I went to Rhodes to study, you know, law, and that didn't work out.
Rhodes.
And then I started doing, communication.
Hey, Rhodes people.
Oh, I had the best time of my life.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, how do you study in Grahamstown, Chief?
No, but here's the trick about Grahamstown. Because it was, I mean, at my time, I don't know now.
What years were these? I'm trying to see
Dala, so please don't judge me. 06, 09.
Those were my years.
Yeah, I know. We know your story too.
Hey. PA, were you popular?
My brother. In the Eastern Cape, Chief. Come on. No.
But it speaks to what you're saying. Yeah. So, the nice thing about Rhodes is that when we party, we all party.
Yeah. Mm.
So there wasn't a time where you would feel like YOLO, I'm missing out because other people are partying. Mm. Basically the whole campus party together at the same time.
Yes, and study together
and
studied
at the same time. And forged letters at the same
time. My first girlfriend was from Rhodes, so.
Really?
Oh, is it time?
Huh? Really? Yeah. Gio, what was she?
I'm not going to mention nothing, but yeah.
What was she studying?
You know, in university, we all mix up first year, second year, third year, same class.
Let's go.
So I think that really was my mission, was to get as much financial education, but also to make it palatable.
Yes.
Because the thing is, banks, financial institutions, government, they all try to do financial education, but they always try to make it complicated. And I'm like, who are you trying to complicate this for? Sure. But also, if you look at some of, you know, financial institutions that do exist, and I'm not saying all financial institutions, so don't all blacklist me, please.
Ish.
But a lot of them try to complicate it because if you are not well informed, it makes for better business for them.
Of course.
It does. They never admit to that.
Yes.
Their whole purpose is to
keep
you in the ecosystem as long as possible.
Yes. I think there's a movie called, The Big Short.
The Big Short, yes.
Right? And, you know, it's about the 2008 financial crisis. And in the movie, anyway, when they're busy doing their investigation as to whether or not to short mortgage stocks, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's buying homes. Everybody wants to own a home, man. But people were getting banged on the interest rate, banged on the deal. But they were just buying homes left, right, and center because the banks were incentivized to issue the loans.
Yeah.
Now, the guys on the ground, because they go like, they leave Wall Street and they go like into middle America there.
Yes.
And they meet these two brewers. One used to be a personal trainer and the other one used to work at like a flipping suntan parlor, right? They are now financial advisors.
Yeah.
And they've been given like this book.
Script
to say, go and sell this to people, right? Mm. Issuing any kind of loan. Yeah. Even if you don't have a job, you can get a loan, right? Mm. Strippers were getting loans. You know, people that they were like,
bam,
I like to target the ones who are, and when he's describing it, he's like, I like to target the ones who are cash rich.
Yeah.
Like strippers, man, I sold about 50 loans to strippers. You know, one stripper, 5 loans, and they're laughing about it.
Mm.
And then he's like, but do these people realize what you're selling them?
Yeah.
And he's like, of course not, man. No one wants to read that stuff. It's boring.
Mm.
You know, like that is. Mm. And it's exactly that. Yeah. It's ignorance. Boring. So nobody wants to read it. So it's sold to us in like a beautified way.
Yes.
There was a thing a few years ago, which I didn't understand at all at the time. I just saw that it was trending.
Yeah.
But it was a very popular, complex property company there.
Those guys.
Yeah, okay. those guys in Midrand.
And white, they partnered red, green with a very logo big DJ.
Right?
Yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
Those oaks?
Yes.
And the DJ was like, yo, buy a home, own a home, let's operate. Yeah. And he was obviously marketing it, you know, as an ambassador of some sorts.
Yeah.
And in came this financial economist guy, the investment banker guy.
Oh,
and he was like, yo, pause. Stop telling people. to take these loans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Anyway, fast forward a few years, there's been stories coming out of people who made those purchases that time. They can't afford to pay the bonds. They're not finding tenants in the bracket that they need. You know, the tenants are paying six and they need eight to pay the bond. And now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these stories come out. And I remember at the time, like if you package it and you sell it like that,
yeah,
everybody's going to want to jump in.
It was
yes. Because they're like, hi. Wow, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, there's a gym, there's a what. And people, like you say, are coming from Bushbuck Rig or Freight or Mdantsane.
Yes.
And they're like,
Nika, hey,
I'm in.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You're not in.
No, you're not.
You know, so almost what you're doing is actually countering all of that.
That's
because there's an entire industry that's incentivized.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is that when you don't understand, it's very difficult to see, to have the foresight of seeing what could potentially happen.
Sure. Yeah.
In the same, that same time frame, there was a girl who came to me, I think she came 4 years after, which is 2024, right? She, an auditor, by the way, by profession.
Yes.
So I've passed all of those exams. I'm an auditor. So we assume.
Yeah.
She knows what she's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comes to me and she says to me, I need to give back my house to the bank. I said, what do you mean? She says, Nicolette, the installment started off around 10,000. It's now sitting at 14,000, 15,000. I can't afford it. So what else can I do? Either I give it back or I refinance. And that's the issue. The problem is that people don't do the scenario and the what ifs in their heads. But
yes,
it's so difficult when you actually don't know. I did a video just recently about the actual cost of owning a home. I always say to people, forget the installment because that's actually taken care of by the bank. Because
there's
the bank,
so many hidden costs.
There's so many levies, municipal rates, the maintenance of the house. You can't be the only house in the estate that has got fading paint.
Sure.
They are going to call you into a meeting.
Yes.
You know? Security.
Should we have one
there's
on Wednesday?
Just, there's just so much more. You know?
I have one on Wednesday.
Uti, why is your paint fading? So there's just so much more that comes with ownership that I don't think enough people do the mathematics.
Yes.
And unfortunately, all of that money comes from the same budget, right?
Sure.
So at the end of the day, you need to be able to have enough breathing room for the what ifs that happen during the economic changes.
Yes.
So interest rates go up. That's going to happen. Inflation goes up. That's going to happen. I mean, there's so many things that are so interconnected when it comes to finance.
100%.
That you can't think because you can afford the 12,000 the bank is saying is an installment.
Sure.
That means you can afford your house.
Sure.
And that's the real problem.
And the difference between 12 and 16 can
it's
be enormous.
Huge. It's huge.
And remember now, sorry, remember also, the average South African has three loans. They've either got a home loan, a car loan, student loan, or they've got some sort of non-asset backed, so your short-term credit, right? Now, we all know short-term credit definitely is on a variable rate. It's very less often that the banks will fix some of these rates. We know some of them, and PH is probably one of the only people who's got his home loan fixed, right?
I don't know about that.
Right? So it means that most of them are on variable rates. So when the interest rate changes,
it affects all of them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you've got even if it's an extra 1,000 that you must pay on each one.
That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
How?
I mean, look, there's guys who will sit and, you know, something happens where basis points have gone up and down and we don't know what that means, right? And obviously, it's exactly what you've just spoken about now, where it affects the amount of money that you're going to pay at the end of the day. How do you... You know, I've got a guy that I know who has got a fixed loan somewhere. How do you approach the bank, or can you get a fixed loan from a bank where it's like the interest rate is flat? Or you're a lucky person when you get that? How do you go about?
Does that happen?
It does happen. So I think one of the things that we have to educate South Africans also on is that don't go with what the masses are saying.
Sure.
Banks work on a case-by-case basis.
Sure. Mm.
That's number one. Number two, banks see you as an investment, right? So you need to put your case in front of the bank and say, I am a good enough partner for you guys to partner with.
Mm. Sure.
But the problem also is that as we grow up and our relationships with money is built, it's also built with institutions. And often what happens is we see the banks as this, you know, this oh, holier than thou place, where they can either give you a stamp of approval or stamp of disapproval. So you always almost coming in with a begging bowl. But the reality is the bank needs us more than they need, or more than we need them to. Okay, maybe it's a relationship that
Well, we can just go to another bank.
That's the thing. That's what we have, right? They have to be profitable. Sure. So the bank is going to look at your case and decide whether or not you are somebody that they can give a fixed rate to or not give a fixed rate to, based on their algorithms. Obviously, these guys have some of the smartest professionals that are sitting there, right? So they've got economists that are giving them, you know, type of advice of what the interest rate cycle looks like, when do we see possible changes, where's the South African economy going? So all of that gets factored into whether that decision to give you a fixed loan is there or not.
Gotcha.
But they also look at you as an individual, and they're like, okay, we're looking at your credit profile, we're looking at your cash flows, but we're also looking at whether we can cross-sell you other products. Because now, if you're just coming there for that one loan, we need to give them a variable rate at the highest interest rate, get as much as we can so that if they default, we've made our money. So the answer is yes, you can.
Depends.
It depends.
It depends.
Depends on who you are. It depends on how the bank sees you.
Sure.
Are you a good enough partner? Have you put in enough data in front of them that convinces them that they actually are going to be profitable if they keep you on as a client?
So, okay. So in that, sorry, Warwick. In that particular instance where, okay, I know a friend who's banked to a certain bank for a very long time, but has everything else in the other bank's names, right? As in, like, whether it's house, car, whatever. Why is it that it happens where your bank that you bank with is like, we've got all your money, right? But other banks are like, oh, we'll give you the world and more. Come. Because why does that happen?
Banks are profitable companies. Everybody's going to have to try.
Competition, yeah. They're trying to get you.
So you, at the end of the day, you make the decision as the consumer as to which product you're going to go with from which financial institution, right? But there is also the instance where, and I see it now, so I bank with that bank with the tree, and then I've now started moving my stuff to the Zebra Bank, right?
Sure.
Now, the Zebra Bank says to me, we can see we're a stepchild. Because they can see, you know, the way you are transacting in their account, they know you've got a house. They've checked, you apply, they ask you for your asset list, they ask you for your, so they know where your loans are sitting. And they're just waiting for you to do the crossover, right?
Gotcha.
So, again, it's that relationship now to say, if I go to the Zebra Bank and ask for a loan, what is the conversation? They will probably say to me, move your stuff to us.
Sure.
So, because they're trying to get the share of the market, right? So at the end of the day, banks are in competition. You as the consumer make that decision. But banks also have to take into consideration that if they're going to put their best foot forward to you, you also need to make some commitment. Gotcha. What I usually say is, have a relationship with all the banks. So, for instance, if you are applying for a home loan at, let's say, the Dark Green Bank, and they give you an interest rate, then you go to your own personal bank, they give you an interest rate. You can use that to negotiate. So you can say, look, here's my offer in principle from this bank. You guys want to retain me as a customer? I need you to lower this interest rate. So you've got, it goes back to what you're saying about finding the way to play the money game, especially with 100%. Banking, to get the best out of them.
Sounds difficult.
You have to know.
But my thing is, what about the other side? So we've touched on the consumer side. So me as the individual when I'm making the decision. But is there insight on the other side? So not the bank side. Like, for example, that offer. Where these properties were offered in this massive estate. That happens all the time because everywhere is a massive estate now. Are those properties worth the money that you are paying for them? In other words, now I'm buying it. I want to, let's say I'm buying it for investment purposes and I want to live in it. Or is the deals that we're being offered, Randburg and Cosmo City and Midrand, are those actually worthy property deals? So, for example, if somebody bought a house, let's say in Camps Bay, when we started playing there in 2008, if PH and I said, "Excel, let's go halfies on this house," and we bought it for 5 million, chances are we could probably sell that house for 20 now. I don't see the same sort of growth in Midrand or Randburg.
Well, then you've answered your question.
Yeah, but right? Okay. Because but are people being fooled into it?
They're
or
not fooled.
What's informing that? Why is that happening?
They're not fooled. So remember, developers also need to make money. So developers are sitting there and they're calculating their cost of developing. They're calculating, you know, how much the cost of selling this thing is going to cost them.
Yeah.
Then they are looking also at market sentiment in the area. Then they are also looking at actual data. And also property inflation has to be taken into consideration, right? Property inflation in this country is absolutely wild. We have to be honest about that, right?
Ridiculous.
But the other thing is...
Hey, you have a fixed interest rate. Shut up.
Yeah, actually, please. The other thing is, if I'm selling bubblegum at R1, and seven people are buying it, and they keep buying it,
yeah,
that means there are customers who will buy it.
True. Yes.
You get what I'm saying?
So I can keep selling. Shitty houses.
Yes.
Sure.
Right. But there is also the other reality at the back, and you have to do this, unfortunately, as the consumer.
Mm.
Me and you will not get the same interest rate, right? We don't have the same finances. We're buying the same house.
Mm.
So it's either a good deal for both of us, it's a good deal for one of us, it's a good deal for both of us.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Or a bad deal for both of
us. But nonsense is nonsense also. So sometimes you've got to take the total cost of the house and calculate. A very simple calculation is, what is the square meterage of this house? And divided by the cost of the house.
Mm.
I mean, if you are getting north
people
of,
don't know that.
Yeah, if you're
people
getting north of 15,000 per square meter, come on, you are being sold a dad, right? But then also, you have to ask yourself, why am I buying the property? Am I buying for investment purposes?
Sure.
Am I buying to live there? Because there's also that you need to, I always call it the ownership taxation of what are you buying for? Mm. If you are buying for investment purposes, number one, let's also take out emotions from buying investment purposes.
Which is hard.
Yeah.
Sorry to stop
it
you.
Is hard, but the reality is a lot of people buy property based on where they want to live.
Yes.
But you are buying for investment purposes. Right? So you need to look where the market is when you're buying for investment purposes. Where are there people who is willing to pay a certain amount of money? If you take how much you are actually buying the property for, the installment at the bank, the levies and all of the stuff, your total cost per month, are you looking to make a profit or are you looking to just
cover that?
Just cover that. And what happens when you don't have a tenant? Will you be able to cover the fee at the bank yourself? So you've also got to factor all of that into consideration. And then you need to go to the estate. I'll go knock and ask the people, so how much rent are you paying?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no point in you buying a house and you want to charge 13,000 and everybody else is charging 7,000.
Yeah.
But now when you pull a limestone report and it says, hey, your neighbor or whatnot, those amounts vary, right?
Yes.
What's
and
a limestone
I'll tell you
report?
Why.
See, got to study these things.
Hey, bro.
A limestone report is basically, it says the average value of like the houses,
yeah.
Correct? Yeah, of like the houses or the
in
area.
In this area, yeah.
In this area. So a house of this size was sold for X amount in the recent 3 months or whatever. Or, yeah, so there you're able to then, I'm assuming again, that then you're able to gauge how much you charge, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
You, or you use that as a basis of...
So it's a data company, right? They aggregate those kind of costings. They aggregate they actually commission the research that they're doing so that they give us those kind of figures.
Mm.
And their reports are great.
Mm.
But you have to also live in reality, right? Because sometimes also the report may give you information on a, let's say, for instance, you are in an estate and it gives you information on the houses on that
in the corner,
street, in that corner, yeah. Right? There's a whole lot more that goes into psychology of buying and 100%. Selling, right? But also think about it. So I have a property in the Douglasdale area where I have 4 apartments there, right? Mm. And there is an apartment where I've had a tenant for the last 14 years.
You are blessed.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Jesus.
So to skyrocket that rent is easy. So if you're going to use that as your benchmark, you're in trouble.
Mm.
Because there's an entry point. Then there is, this tenant has been here for 14 years.
10%, 10%, or whatever the increases
exactly,
are. Exactly.
There's the increases every single year. Well, I mean, we don't always have to do it every year, but there's those increases.
But in the event,
in the event, yes. So it will shoot up that rent. So your risk, it's not buying Colgate off a shelf when you're buying property. You've got to do the research. You've got to ask yourself realistically, how much can I afford to buy? How much house can I really afford to buy? And then how much can I realistically rent this thing out at, right? Because all of that data and all of that information will bring you to an answer of whether or not this is really my market.
Mm.
And you've got to have an honest conversation with self.
How long does that take? realistically? Like,
I mean, you can shorten the exercise by commissioning guys like Lightstone to help you out. Sure. You know what I mean? The guys who do TPN reports can also give you similar reports.
Sure.
There's a whole lot of companies that can give you those kind of reports. I think even the banks have those kind of reports now. Okay. The reality is, at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, how long does it take for me to write to make the right financial decision? Because an impulsive one also...
You see, and this is when I go back to the question of rental versus thing.
Yeah.
You know, you asked about investment, where I found myself, you know, with my first purchase, where I was just like, this is the house, the area is great, you know, family, whatnot, it's secluded, blah, blah, blah. All of those things that the ego wants, right?
Yes, of course.
And then there's the realistic of the bank. Whether or not it was fixed, that's a conversation for someone else. But like,
That's your friend.
Yes.
That's for my friend, yeah. But there's the hidden costs, you know, that even on... Even on first purchase, where I wasn't aware that I was going to walk into this large sum of money called transfer fees. You know, it's just like, you did not know about that.
And bond
registration and bond
fees.
It's just like, hey, yo, like, now I'm left out of pocket. Cool, you stay there. Then you realize maybe this is not the area for me. Now I want to be a landlord. Then all of the things that you've just spoken about now are consideration. How much am I going to charge? You know.
And the law.
And
the law.
Yes.
Because you can't just kick someone out.
Yeah. Yes. Hey. I've got friends like Waters who can do that. But anyways.
We don't subscribe to that.
No, and you are lucky because it's probably the tenant you have.
Sure.
Right? There's going to be that tenant.
You've got the tenant for 14 years.
But that's what I'm saying. There's going to be that tenant that knows the law.
But
and the law, unfortunately, is not
favorable
to owners.
Yeah. No, not at all. It's rightfully so, because we do have a housing crisis in South Africa.
Yeah.
Right. So it's an unfortunate situation that
you can't
just, you know, displace someone, and especially if it's a family.
Yes.
But there are people who take chances.
Of course.
And you do have to deal with them, but within the law.
I would go so far as to say there's less people who take chances and less landlords who take advantage than people who take chances. I think more people...
Sometimes landlords don't even know the law themselves. Yeah. So they don't actually know what they can and cannot do.
Well, because they've been advised, hey, buy a property, put a tenant in, then the tenant doesn't pay for 3 months.
Then I ask you again. Then I ask you again, like, in this unstable economy, economic asset, like... With all these things that you've just said, wouldn't it be the smarter thing as a person, maybe not seeking investment in property? Because again, we're taught that the security in owning a house, the banks look at you in a different manner.
20-year plan.
I don't think that's the case nowadays. Mm. The banks are just like, oh, okay, nice that you have a house, but your credit card payments are, you know,
behind,
or whatever. Like, is again, I know it all depends.
Yeah.
But is investing in property a thing for your first investment? Like,
where should you be putting your money?
Okay, so obviously I'm not a financial advisor, but I think what I can say from an educational perspective, I think the problem is too much DIYing that we're doing.
Okay.
I think, and probably because we've just, you know, South Africa has just been hit with this wave of financial education where there's a whole lot more people doing it now and they're trying to educate, and we're starting to have these conversations, and we are the generations that are a little bit more enlightened, right?
So we are not speaking about Forex. So not you Forex traders.
We must talk about those guys.
Yeah, sure.
Because we've been enlightened, I think there's a lot more eagerness and willingness to try and go out and do it by ourselves. Okay. But we are not investment specialists, right?
Yeah.
And at every level of it, we are not financial planners.
Sure.
So there is a place for property. There's absolutely a place for property. But the question is, again, it depends on your set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have liquidity issues. And I had that situation. So I broke my ankle in 2023. I went on a date. We're in roller skating.
Hey, Bafana. You see? Anything that revolves around Bafana.
Are you dating? Hey, roller skating.
It was actually a very cute date.
Sure.
We went to roller skating. Within 5 minutes on the arena, I broke my ankle, right? Found myself in hospital. But I found I found out for the first time that I was not a business owner. I was actually self-employed, which meant that no work, no pay.
Mm.
Right. So for the first 4 months of 2024, I was bedridden, right? Because I could not put any weight on it. Then I started running out of savings, naturally, right? And then I realized that I was actually overly invested in property. But I had the laziest assets because property is one of the most illiquid assets you can ever keep. So I was assets rich, but I was cash poor.
Yeah.
But the bank wants its money. I need to pay my car. I need to pay my bond. Sure. I need to eat. So it's also important to understand where you are as an individual, what other investments you have so that your investments are not scatterbrained.
Sure. Mm.
So that your investments actually make sense. There's going to be a time in your life where you're going to need those long-term high-growth assets like property. Yes. Or you need high-growth assets, volatile assets like equity, right, into your funds. And you have to have those if you are looking to grow your wealth. So there is a place for property. It's just not for all of us at the same time. The problem is too many of us want property. One, because let's be fair, the financial institutions, or rather the financial sector, has made property the easiest asset to achieve because you can leverage it against debt. You can't go to the bank and say, I want a million, I want to buy shares. The bank's not going to give you that money. So it's an easy in.
Question.
Yes.
With that being said, of leveraging against
debt,
right? How, I've always heard this term, and I mean, I'll say it on the show, I've always heard this term where you can borrow, is it borrowing against your bond? Or
yes, you can.
How do you do that?
Okay, so
are you not getting into more debt?
Yeah, you are, every time you borrow, you're getting into debt.
No, but I'm just
so
like,
take it this way. My property was listed at 3.5. I bought it at 2.7.
Sure.
So basically there's equity built already. So I can, but you have to qualify.
Got you.
So it's not that because your house is worth now 5 million, the bank is,
and it's gonna give you 4 million.
So, and it's because of that financial crisis. So remember, before the financial crisis hit us, you could borrow more than what the property was worth. So you didn't need an offer to purchase first to go and buy. You could literally say, "Mfeng 1 million, but I'm going to buy a 500,000 rand house." So now you have to have the offer to purchase that says, and the banks actually go out.
And is that since
we assume that they actually leave their desk and to go and do an evaluation, right? And sometimes the banks will tell you, no, this house is overpriced.
Yeah.
We're not willing to step in here and assist.
Do they consider all the works that have been done inside?
They consider everything. Okay. They're supposed to. That's why I say sometimes they do get off their desk. Sometimes they do a desk exercise.
Sure.
Then they don't consider those, you know, those renovations that have been made.
Because my paint is from Kai Kai and my tiles are from...
Yes, or you've added in a wine cellar, then your house, now all of a sudden it's now jumped by a million rand.
Or your house has pillars.
Yeah, or your house has...
Come with it.
Or against a pedal cord, you know?
So
that's what is essentially supposed to happen, but we don't know if they actually do go out and actually do that evaluation. I can't remember what I was answering.
I was asking about leveraging off.
Taking a loan against your bond.
So in America, they call them HELOCs. So basically, you're creating a home loan equity line of credit, right? So in South Africa, what we do is the bank will then say, okay, so your house was 3.5. We gave you 2.7 million. So you've got a little bit of equity that is in the house based on its affordability. So we will reassess you again for a... It's a new credit agreement, essentially.
Hey, yo, because now you're asking for 3.2.
But they'll give you the balance, like, from the what you have. Or you could have paid off a home loan. So, which is something we speak about, sweating your assets.
Sure.
So, I'll give you an example. I'm building in Limpopo right now. Sure. I need to put roofing now.
Sure.
So, I'm building from pocket. So, I said, okay, what I can do is I can either take my already paid off assets, go to the bank and rebond them.
Because
I say rebond them, but it's to bond them because they've paid off. Or I can go back and say, look, I've had my home loan for 9 years. I've paid this amount. Well, it's 500,000.
Sure.
Give me the 500,000. And then they will do now a credit assessment. Then you're almost starting from... So you are pressing reset. Which, your question is, are you taking up more debt? Absolutely.
But you're getting the 500 now. Debt in exchange for the liquidity.
That's what I always say to people. I must remember, with a home loan, the one thing you must remember, it's almost like reversed savings.
Sure.
Because you went to the bank, you went and said, "Give out and throw 1 million now."
Sure.
The bank said, "But you can save up for it." You are like, I want it now." So the bank says, "Don't, no problem. We'll buy you the house, but you need to pay us that 1 million with the extra money."
Our profit.
You see, as you guys are talking, I'm chuckling. I'm just like, this is the, it's not PTSD, but the trauma.
Yeah.
That you were speaking about earlier on, where my pops was like, "Nigga, don't owe anyone. Don't, yeah. you know, debt yeah. debt is not a, yeah. like, you, I was
debt
taught that
bad.
Debt is bad. You yeah. know? But you're now, this is the Pantula type version of dealing with debt.
Yes.
You know, and I'm trying to register, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because I'm just like, I'm not trying to owe these guys. I'm trying to pay them off. The sooner the better. So that ngazukulalipsu, you know?
So you need cash flow.
Yeah.
And I think, so think about it the same way you think about business, right? A business needs cash flow.
Yes.
Right? So you, a cash flow to, you know, survive if circumstances change. That's why we speak about high liquidity. You need to have liquidity before you start investing in assets that are very illiquid, right? You also need to be able to, if in case of emergencies, be able to access cash, right? So people argue then, is it not better to buy all of your assets cash? It is better to buy cash because then you don't owe anyone.
Mm.
But if you are trying to work out the liquidity issue, you also might not be able to do that. And realistically, there's a lot of South Africans who can't.
Sure.
They can't even just, I mean, I'm talking about some people cannot go and buy a 500,000 rand home cash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So those systems are then built in to be able to assist them. The problem we have in South Africa is lack of credit education.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do not understand this. I mean, we do an example where we show, for instance, let's say your wife falls pregnant and then she goes on maternity leave. Those 4 months, if her employer says, we don't pay you a full salary, what happens to her debts?
Sure.
So she will then walk into a bank and say, listen, guys, I'm not getting my full salary, so I won't be able to pay all of the minimum required payments. Then what does the bank say to you? The bank doesn't want to leave you, doesn't want to lose you.
Sure.
Because they know if they say to you, don't pay at all, because the habit of not paying for 4 months is just going to stick out.
Sure.
So the bank says, pay what you can.
Okay.
Right? It's a trap.
Okay.
Because the bank expects you to know the numbers. What are the numbers? The numbers is at least match the interest that they are charging you.
Sure. Mm.
Because the charge of that interest, it's going to take the loan up.
Sure.
So think about it, a very simple example. If you are paying an installment on a property, let's say your monthly installment is 12,000.
Sure.
But your interest charge every month is like around 8,000 rand. And you decide to pay half. And you pay 4,000 rand or 6,000 rand. Mm-hmm. It means that you're having a shortfall every single month. But the problem is that shortfall gets added onto your outstanding balance.
And it compounds.
And it compounds. Four, so eight, you see 12. The loan going in the other direction, but you're paying.
Now you're phoning them for an hour like, I don't understand.
No, you.
Sure.
I love the phoning guys are even better. They go on social media and write it. I'm paying this bank for this long. My loan still keeps going up. It's because you are not matching the interest that is being charged every month.
Quick yeah, they say, support me, let's cancel.
Yes.
Quick question, and I don't know if this is, you know, fucking with the banks or whatever, but
yeah.
A friend of mine had said, you must once walk into the bank or go or speak to your bank or whatever it is, right, and find out the interest, right, on whatever it is that you're paying, and set up a thing where if you could pay every day of the month, your thing where you are, you're not the sooner or the more you pay towards your interest or the debt that you have, the less you'd be charged by the bank or something along those lines of paying the bank every day, almost every single day, right? Installment
okay.
is 20,000, right? Yes. And I go to the bank and pay the equivalent of 20,000 rand, but in a month, right?
Daily
but
increments, like 800 rand a day.
Yeah, but add more. Would that not work in my favor or would it work against my favor when it comes to...
Sure. That sounds like an actuarial thing, but...
Yeah, it was very complicated, but it was like...
But think about it. There's three numbers you need to work with. There's an interest rate.
Yes.
There's the capital you borrowed.
Yes.
The principal amount.
The principal amount. Yes. Then there is... the loan period.
Yes.
All of these three things give you the installment you pay every month.
100%.
Right? If you change how much you pay,
yes,
it will change
the other two.
The other course. Two. Yeah, all the time. Usually the banks keep this one. They like to keep it where period. It is. They don't want to change it. And that's why you'll see if you pay extra into your home loan, sometimes they'll reduce your installment slightly because they're trying to keep the outstanding balance outstanding for 20 years.
Sure.
Yes. So that's why a lot of people, when the interest rate gets changed, people will say, or financial content creators will say, don't change the installment. Keep the same installment you were paying on a higher interest rate, right? Because if you keep that installment, it means you are paying a little bit extra over and above the minimum monthly payment,
sure,
which will then go directly to the outstanding balance.
Sure.
So the lower the principal amount, the less you get charged on interest.
Yes, because the interest is calculated.
Yes, based on the outstanding balance. Yes. Now, you wouldn't. It also depends on the different products,
sure,
and how the banks treat that product.
Sure.
There are certain banks that even if you pay extra, it sits. Mm. They wait for the actual billing. No, yeah, they'll either wait for your instruction or they'll wait for their billing cycle. And only then
will they allocate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
So it will not go to the actual capital reduction.
Won't be
They will wait for the interest to be affected, then put the additional that you put. Car loans usually do that. They will let your money sit there. They'll even call it on your statement. It'll be called advance payment.
Yeah.
But here's the funny part.
The second
after 3 months, if you say, give me back my advance, they say they can't give you after 3 months. So if it goes past 3 months that you've kept it there, you need to then make an instruction. Whereas with excess bond accounts, you can withdraw your money as you please. If you put extra in there, they'll lower your installment. So the trick, the actual trick is to always pay extra into your loan and then give a proper instruction on what
say,
you want that
can
done.
I not then say, okay, cool, every day mina nzokhafa stina.
Yeah.
But
the banks won't do that.
Why?
Every
why?
Day
come on, you're giving them a headache.
Yeah. Oh, why?
And if they
I've got them coins to do that.
If they do it for you, they have to do it for everyone. So some of the products have rules. And if because of, remember what Warren said earlier on, the contract is boring. So you didn't read it.
There'll be
it
a
already told yeah, you they, that they're not doing
of,
that.
They've
yes.
already thought
but
of your
of course,
plan.
Yes. I hear you, but I'm not trying to stay here for long.
But
I'm not here
for
yeah, but it's in the contract. We have to come to an agreement. You can't.
But I'm paying you guys.
It's fine. They'll pack your money. It's not a problem.
Hey, Chief, we are not Capitec. What's wrong with this guy?
They'll pack your money.
I'm just not trying to...
On PH's example, my aunt, she's an auditor as well. She pays her salary into her credit card.
Clever.
So her credit card is always on a positive balance.
Okay.
So she's not paying interest
on
credit.
The
bank is paying her.
Mm.
Huh?
Mm. Yes. So
remember,
say
that's
a credit
only,
card.
Yeah, it's the only credit line where you earn interest.
You earn interest. But let's say your credit card, your credit limit is 50K.
Sure.
And you take 100. You just go in your app and you say 100. Wah! And you say, no, I'm going overseas. I want to make sure my stuff is covered.
Sure.
It's the only card I'm taking.
Sure.
And
you leave that thing on 60. They're going to start phoning you to say,
spend, what's up?
Do you want us to increase your credit limit to 100?
They,
and you're like, no,
that's
I'm
the
fine.
Sweet spot. So what she's also doing
is
an investment into her future if she ever needs a higher credit line. Because now the bank,
they can't say no.
Yes, and it's also a credit score, not a debt score, right?
Got you.
So it's important to keep a credit line active where they can see that actually your credit utilization is low.
No.
So basically, you are those
kids.
But
you have it.
But
you're not canceling it. You're not saying to the bank, hey, listen, I don't need this thing.
Absolutely. You are those kids where you put the marshmallows in front and you are mising them. That's literally what his aunt is doing. She's mising that balance that they've, the limit that they've given her. She doesn't need to use it. So now next time she comes back and says, actually, guys, I need a credit line of 500,000. They easily give it to her. They've seen her behavior.
But
and for years.
But don't,
yes. she's been
don't
doing
banks
for years.
Look at you and be like, we can't make money off you.
Absolutely,
they
but
still
not
make money.
You go.
She's still a customer of the bank.
She still transacts.
Yeah, she still transacts. She
so
uses that card.
She's
it's not like she's not using it as a savings account. She pays it there and spends from there.
Yeah, so
that thing is actually always, it's kind of always going into credit and then it's coming back up.
Yeah.
And then it's going, and then it's coming. But she does that so that she's not on the losing, she's catching the bank at least on one. To say,
but it needs discipline.
You guys are banging me every month interest on this credit card.
It needs discipline.
We were speaking about America the other day, and in the Senate committee hearing, the senator was asking the guy from Visa, what are your profit margins? Right? And he was like trying to evade the question.
Huge.
And he was saying like similar stuff to Nicoletti. He was like, it depends. Sometimes you want to be an owner.
Sure.
Sometimes you want to be a tenant.
Sure.
Sometimes you want to be a squatter.
Yeah.
Just
sure.
depends, bro. Because our default rates are like this, like that. And then he was like, no, Chief. I'm looking at the numbers here since that, whatever the law was that
passed.
Your profit, their profit margin was something like 200%.
No, it's crazy.
It was ludicrous. So as far as the bank goes, in terms of the financial services products that they make money from, the credit card one is the short-term one. That's where they're making the most money.
Yeah. Gotcha.
They're not making the most money on the home loans and the what, you know. And everyone was overlooking that because during the crisis, everyone
that's
is looking at the home
the
loans. Yeah.
So it's you your overdraft. Do you know people live in overdrafts?
That's
true. They literally live in their overdraft.
It goes into that minus, then it comes
up. And they're chilling. They're waiting for the next salary to come in. This next salary comes in. Now the, your employer knows they pay you 20,000, but they actually pay you 10,000 because that's what you've got. Mm. And you just
and
go
the
into
bank
the minus.
Is phoning you and saying, hey, do you want to increase?
Yes, you want to increase your limit. Then they're offering you a personal loan, revolving loan, credit cards.
See, well, I would say, like, you know, based on our discussion today, I think, you know, the question of rent first buy, for example, I think the people who buy should be people in a stable job, employment contract.
Absolutely.
You work, you get a salary.
And they should make
you
do you buy, a credit test. You must get a test done before you even apply.
Yes,
all of
so
the,
that you understand.
Yes, what you are getting yourself into.
And then versus like the industry that we're in, for example.
That's what I'm trying to get into. Yeah,
yeah, we, you know, like, I always see on social media, there'll be mang DJ, mang artist, mang influencer, mang. They're like, this mang bought her or his first house.
Yes.
And then you're there with the key. And then I'm like, I'm going to go Baldwin. But anyway.
Stop it.
I see you, you know. They'll be posing with the key. And then because, well, we've been around for years. I've been at PH, has been around since apartheid. So you know that the industry and the way it functions is your hit is a hit now.
Yes.
Yeah, the
and the
you
coins are coming
smart.
In. You know, you're earning stupid money where it's like you're making hundreds of thousands a
in
weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming from zero.
Yeah.
The same with soccer players, like you said. You know, like Tiko Modise is a good example of someone who was
smart enough
for the longevity.
Absolutely.
I see that oak all the time at the Hall of Fame there at FNB Stadium. Is that the soccer players also fall into that trap. They go from coming from Tanzania, they come to Joburg, and next thing you sign with a big club, you're earning 400K a month, you go mad, you go buy a house.
Yeah.
But you don't pay it off cash.
They
come with like a lump sum of 800.
And then they think they can disappear for like seven, 8 months.
They put the million on the house, but the house is 2.5.
Yes.
And then they're like, le bonding zo ishai. Then every month they are praying. But the nature of the game, the nature of entertainment, the nature of sport is that, boom, you break
today.
Your ankle, ice, roller skating, because you're on a date. Now, what now? Yes, you've paid 2 million on a 2.5 house. And that rate, the interest rate has changed. Lots of the variables.
Yeah.
Now you read in Daily Sunday, Guti, this soccer player is living in Hillbrew.
Sure.
How
bank is trying to repossess.
Yes. Sigbonile Naturina, but what happened? We saw you moved into Munyaka. What way?
That's why it requires discipline and an intimacy with your finances.
Mm.
I think a lot of people don't have that intimate relationship with their finances to understand, because I can tell you now that what's probably happening with those guys where they put this one big payment, you know, don't pay for 3 months, the interest that is being charged on those loans, they don't even realize it, because when they come to make the next big payment, it's a huge payment. But it's gone nowhere.
Yeah.
You're not actually making.
And you're like, what's up?
So I think it's very important that as an individual, you are clearly intimate with your finances, so you know what's happening at the very least. Yeah.
Now, with what Warwick has just said now, I believe banks don't look at those. Obviously, you're not as stable as someone who has a consistent income.
Yeah.
Yes, the job guy.
Job guy, or 25th or 30th or 30th, whatever the last day of the month, X amount. Cool, you're making those millions.
No, the bank doesn't.
Yeah, banks are like, we're not.
They don't like self-employed people.
Yeah, because you're making the million. You're making 100 on Tuesday.
Yes.
Another 400 lands on Friday.
Sure.
This weekend, 200 is out.
Sure.
Then you are dry for 4 months.
No, 200 out only.
Yes.
Yeah. Then Tuesday again, payments are coming in. Because if you think about the nature of the gigs are on that weekend.
Yes. Sure.
So the payments come in, let's say, between Tuesday and Thursday.
Mm.
The weekend of the gig, you need a new fit. So lots is going out. Go Diamond Wall. And then you're back inside the next week. So it's very
erratic,
actually.
We always say those guys need to have unfortunately, private banking because they do, and they need a proper relationship banker.
Let me tell you something.
Yes, because private banking.
Oh no, they no, are
I, that's what I was about to say. The problem in South Africa is we've got banks have a monopoly.
Sure.
Mm. I mean, there's 6 banks in the country that are really like, you know, your banks. And then even on private banking, there's no competition, you know. So the problem is that in South Africa, there's a lot of private banking and not relationship banking. Mm. You need an actual banker who's going to sit with you. And also, banks must stop with the whole 8 minutes to interact with your clients and then you must move on.
Mm.
You can't, in 8 minutes, help somebody with their finances.
No, they've made it like a system.
Absolutely.
Sure. That benefits them.
Yeah, so you need someone who can sit with you, who can explain to you, okay, let's actually create an account for you where we're going to pay this thing off every single month. You don't have to worry about it because you funded the account.
Yes.
Sure. Right? Or actually, when you tell me how often do you think you're going to get those big payments so that we know that we can manage it for you. So, but, and that doesn't exist.
No. And I think that person would also then need to be incentivized.
Absolutely.
By the betterment of your financial situation and not the banks.
Yes. Sure.
See, the bank is paying your salary, but they should pay you based on how well PH is doing in terms of the growth of his profile. Sure. Yes. Not how well... Are we doing in
how much
PH going to more debt?
Mm. But that's the difficult thing about being in the financial services sector as a professional, right? Is because the incentives are not always direct to or correlated to what you are doing.
Sure.
Yes.
Those
bankers
So Lebona, they are very stressed, high strung out. Now banks are also they're cutting jobs, which means that they're fusing you. You're now a banker, but you're also a salesperson at the same time.
Yes, yes.
So
they're restructuring. Yeah, you're doing 3 jobs, and now here's Waras calling to say, "Hey, my man, funuge monako."
And when they told you, "Target,"
yes,
I want to chat target.
We must sit and write a book. And I've always said this. You know, the next batch of superstars or whatever it is should not be making the same financial mistakes. But we find it happening.
They are going to.
You know. Mm. Because you sit there, you're like, you want to congratulate this guy for purchasing XYZ and ABC, but then you're like, ish, your behavior.
Yeah.
And you can't bring that chat up with him.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
If you're the one in the DMs, and you're like, yeah, bafo.
Yes.
And I've been fortunate enough to like sit with guys. I've been fortunate enough to sit with guys and say, yo, man, it's great that you're hot now. You know, your singles or whatnot, but... You know, and the way music is consumed or the way entertainment is consumed nowadays, the rate is even, you know, much faster.
Much, much faster.
Where it's like, brother, are you going to be able to live this current lifestyle that you... Yeah.
Yeah.
In the next...
Listen, Mapiano has got the highest turnaround
of
stars.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Before we start wrapping up the show, there's a friend of mine, DJ.
Another friend?
Hey, brother.
I've already filled the one space.
Wait,
there's no friend. It's you, nigga.
No, I'm making an example.
Talking about myself.
No, I'm speaking about myself. The advice that I got was very, you know, similar to what you spoke about, where, you know, you broke your ankle. Mm. He was just simply saying, brother, you're hot right now. Great, I'm happy for you. Just quick question. If you were to injure your hand or your finger, are you able to live the exact same lifestyle for the... He was just like, let me be nice and say for the next 6 months, right? Are you able to still do, you know, go to these shops at any given point and whatnot? And that was a very harsh, like, slap of reality to say, hey, yo, maybe not so much, because I was like, hey, maybe 4 or 5 months I can live this way. But then, you know... it's bad, and that's where the self-employed thing was like, I'm not running a business here, I'm self-employed, you know, to a point where it's just like, okay, cool, how do you then expand your money, or how do you get your money to work for you? At the time, obviously, it was like property and this, that, the other, but that's what I'm saying, bro. This information needs to get out there, where I think a lot of guys do not know that, hey, dog, you need this when you need to purchase a vehicle. Mm. You need to understand all of these things, the clauses that she was speaking about.
Or something simple like, as you need this much before you even start thinking.
Yes.
You need to be liquid enough before. Yeah. I feel like as soon as you get there, you want to jump on the car or the...
We tell people all the time, there's very low, you know, cost investments that one can... There's a book by Nick Magiu...
Upranik.
He wrote a book called Just Buying. It's such a, it's the most simplest financial advice I've ever read.
Sure.
Pick a fund and just keep buying. Just
not
keep
buying. Not a pyramid scheme.
No. A simple unit trust will help you. A simple having a money market account will probably help you. Sure. Of course, I'm saying simple. I'm oversimplifying it right now. And that's why I say it's really important to go and sit with a financial planner so that you can map out what you're trying to achieve. What am I trying to achieve in the next 12 months? Maybe it's that liquidity of saying, if something happens to me, I don't want to find myself.
I want to be covered for 12 months.
I want to be covered for the 12 months, right? Then we're looking at emergency fund. We're looking at, you know, an income type of fund where the money is accessible, but it's still beating inflation. Then we're looking at, okay, 12 months to 3 years. What am I trying to do there? Maybe I want to put down a deposit for a house or put a deposit for a car. So where am I going to put this money so that, again, it beats inflation but gives me a little bit better of a return? Then you got to look at, okay, 5 to 10 years. What does that look like? Then you're looking at 10 years to retirement. There are people in this country who don't even have a plan for retirement. So it's having that, sitting down with somebody who is educated, has the expertise in this field to be able to give you a clear journey of what does it look like right now. And but also, so I always use the analogy of driving from Joburg to Pretoria. You're driving from Joburg to Pretoria. You can't just get into any car and say, I'm going to Pretoria. But you also can't just say, I'm going to Pretoria. When we ask you, what is the address? I would say, now we are guy. Because we'll fell like a centurion, and then you'll say, ah, this fund doesn't work. Hey, this car. No, it's because you got into the wrong fund or you got into the wrong car, right? But also, how long is it going to take you to get to Pretoria?
Sure.
I might need to get to Pretoria because I'm doing an interview in an hour. Maybe you're playing a gig at 6. He's not stressed about how.
And maybe he's going in an X5.
Absolute,
and you're going,
and I'm
in
going
a
in a
Pitchage.
You know what I mean? It's which are the risks. So then you also need to look at your risk profile. What much risk capacity you have? How much risk tolerance do you have? But also how much risk is required for you to be able to get to Pretoria? Maybe you've got 40 minutes. In 40 minutes, the type of risk we're requiring here is we need something that can move.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So all of those things, unfortunately, we don't expect the general public to just know these things.
No, and they don't.
And they don't.
And it's not taught in school.
Yes.
So, and if you don't go to university and learn, which is like very few people.
Sure.
It's not being taught
on that note. Where do I find such information? Like, today has been, you know, quite educational.
Yeah.
In that there's clauses that I didn't know that I signed.
Are you married?
No.
When you do get married, please also check how you get married.
Are you married? Get
that's,
out.
That's also very, people are getting married very weird and they don't understand. People will say to me, yeah, I'm married out of community of property, but with accrual. And I'm like, okay, but have you done the accrual? Do you know how the accrual calculation is going to be done? Because the person whose estate accrues more, the other person can claim from it.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
And when you're saying, are you married? Stop getting married for the Instagram picture.
Please. Yes.
So, I just want to find out, you know, if someone who's watching, lovely people who watch the show, where do I get this information? You know, you mentioned books, platforms, YouTube, where? Let's start with you. And then maybe can you suggest, like, go read this book. You know, this is a source of information if you want something. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a woman who wrote a book. I can't remember her name, but she says
Nicolette.
She says in personal finance, you can have everything you want. You just can't have it all at the same time. And that, I think, is important when it comes to personal finances, is look where you are. And find the content that's relevant to you.
Okay.
Because personal financial content can be overwhelming. It can make you feel like you're not doing enough. It can make you feel like you are behind. I mean, I get one-on-one coaching where I've got 30-year-olds who are, first 30 minutes of the call is crying. I'm not where I should be. I don't know what to do. My friends have homes, you know. So I think it's
pressure.
Yes.
My friends have homes. My friends are engaged.
My friends are engaged.
Hey.
You know, they have their first children. So I think it's important. And I always say a lot of personal finance is self-awareness.
Sure.
It's knowing where am I as an individual.
Sure.
If you know you don't even have an investment account, you are not there yet. Start there by saving. Do I have a savings account? Do I have an emergency fund? Do I have a sinking fund? Am I covered for the next couple of months if something something has to happen.
Sure.
Sort that out first. Then you've got to do the budget, right? Once you've done your budget, you allocate how much money needs to go to savings, how much money needs to go to investments. Now you've got a little kitty for the investments. Now you can go and look for those investments.
Mm.
You
have and it's not affecting the principal amount.
Yes. And you start off, again, where am I in this investment journey? You can't want to jump from being at zero in an investment journey, so jumpela property.
So jumpela crypto.
Do you understand? Yes, absolutely. It's very volatile.
Sure.
It's like people going on that platform that everybody loves, that where you can buy shares, right? Then they pump.
Which one? The bank one?
No. The red one. The one.
Oh, that one.
Yes. Mm. Look, that platform has done so much for South Africa. It's democratized investing, and we are grateful for it. But I think sometimes it's also understanding that you might not have the information to buy individual shares.
Sure. Mm.
So rather you start off in the collective schemes, your ETFs, your unit trusts. Sure. So I would say if you're looking for that information, look for those people. So I do financial literacy content. I'm the financial bunny. There's a lady called Mapalo Maku. She runs Women in Finance.
Mm-hmm.
There is, if you like, Maya. Maya does it from a journalistic perspective. Maya Fisher-French. There is Nozi van Heerden. She also does. There's actually quite a number of, and it's exciting because there's a whole lot of people. Sure. Then there are books you can read, right? I don't like telling people to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But if you have no knowledge, you know what I mean? It's a great book
it is
to
a great
start,
start
you off. Yes, yeah, right?
And rather read the book. Don't search the Timer's YouTube videos of the last 5 years.
Yes.
His mind is...
I guess and he's not... I met
him in the earlier days.
To his defense... He is speaking about the American market.
Yes.
He is, yeah.
So it's easier to...
But I just think he's also like, you know, the
out
book...
Out of touch.
Yeah. The book is the one.
Yes.
When he speaks, I find like in a lot of his YouTube content, interviews and stuff in recent years, he's kind of repeating a lot of the same info.
Because
and
it doesn't change.
Yes.
Also,
right? He's repeating... Yes. He's personalizing it a lot. Like he's like, mm-hmm. be like me. I went to Peru. I bought a gold mine. Yes. It's like, oh, nigga, like, what are you saying? So I went to Zimbabwe. I went to go buy gold.
Yeah. So I think that book is good. The Intelligent Investor is good. Be Your Financial Advisor by Warren Ingram, who's South African, is good. There's a lady by the name of Sam Becksinger. She wrote Manage Your Money Like a Fucking Adult. Which is a great book. My book is called What's Your Move?
Yes.
There's a book by Mapalo. Where
did we get it? Pusha Kel?
Good bookstores.
New York
bestseller. I would say now that I know better, buy it off our platform, www.financialbunny.co.za.
Washa.
Because bookshops also.
Straight to us.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've got a new book coming up at the end of, I think, August. It's called Quiet Moves, Loud Returns.
Dope.
Smart Money Moves Today to Win You Tomorrow. So there's a whole lot of content creators, but also sift through the nonsense.
Mm.
Sure.
On the content creation side, how is the uptake? Like, how do you find the feedback from the people who consume the content? Are they getting it? Are people like, yo, I'm at the right place? You know, like, is it making the impact you wanted it to make?
So
especially online.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the fact, I want to quit every day. You know, because it's actually very emotionally taxing, some of the work that we do. But I have been very encouraged by how many people come to me, how many people invite me to their home, to their when you
Stockfield.
Open, no, when you open your home. When you buy a new home, man.
Housewarming.
Yes, I get invited to housewarmings. Oh, nice. So I get really excited about the stuff. I was actually walking on Fifth Street in New York.
Yes, girl.
The one time. And somebody kept saying, Financial Bunny. And I could not believe the reach.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying? I do a lot of stuff with guys who are experts. So people who are sitting in Korea, China. Mm. I do a lot of one-on-one coaching with them. So the impact is absolutely there. Their feedback has been great. The only difficulty in this space is, it's like, I always say, it's like having a school. So you have grade ones and then you move with them.
Sure.
But at some point you have to let them graduate.
Yes.
And let them go to the next person who's going to be, you know,
take them from grade eight.
And that's where you can fall into the trap of trying to now sound smart because you're trying to move with your people. They're like, oh, we don't want to hear budgeting anymore. So now you start talking about hedge funds and come back.
Gotcha.
Because there'll always be grade ones.
There'll always be grade ones.
And then also there's the thing of becoming, like, I went to Lesotho a couple of months ago, and one of the ladies who was with me from the beginning said to me, you're no longer relatable.
Yo.
Yeah. And it's because my audiences still want the Nicolette with the phone in the car. They don't want, you see this polished, they want the taxi where you are literally sitting with me in the taxi and we're having a conversation about finances. But I have to grow too.
Got you.
You know, so it's a bit of a
Because you are on the hedge fund now. I'll say Kodako Stokvel. Hey guys, I'm not coming to the Stokvel. I'm out, guys. Yeah. No Stokvel
but
for me.
But I think also because for me, it was never about content creation. Mm. When I started, it was about really getting into the financial space and actually making an impact. So I sit on the FSCA's Consumer Advisory Board, currently nominated to contest the Discovery Trustee Board, because I need to get into our medical aid stuff and understand what the hell is happening in medical aid, because that's another place that
Let us know.
Do you get what I'm saying? I want to be the voice for the people.
Tell us.
Yeah, so for me, this my work, after I realized what was happening, I realized that there's just so much of the financial services sector that is really not for the people.
Yeah.
And we need to figure out how to change it. But you can't change it from outside.
Okay. Dope. I mean, yeah. Like I said, very informative bits of information that we've received today. I've learned a bit. Quite a bit, actually.
I've learned from you, too.
Yeah. Oh, shout out.
So have I. I didn't know he has this many friends.
And it showed me you are not one of the ones who are talking about it.
Why do you call me all the time?
No, my friend. What are you doing?
Pull those oaks, bro.
I think we need a part two of this.
Absolutely.
We definitely need a part two of this because it is important. And I think there's a lot that we actually didn't get to touch on, but it was such
You guys can adopt
rich.
Me and my channel.
Ne?
Yeah.
You can put
management.
Me in. Yeah. Management.
Management.
It's called, Financial Bunny, Money Matters, whatever you want to call it, man. Yeah. It's been
Nomcebo, send an email.
Please, eh? But there's, because my biggest thing is that information, especially with money, man.
Yeah.
We really need to understand money, understand the positives and the negatives of
Absolutely.
The word debt,
Absolutely.
And what debt is, investments, dealing with the ego. I mean, it's something that I won't lie, I've dealt with it. And it was in the earlier stages, you know, and longevity of money as well. And years. It's like, hey, my brother, you're still going to be around in 10, 20 years. Mm. My sister, you're still going to be around in 10, 20 years. And the things that you are, or the behaviors that you have now really matter and affect your future, you know? But yeah, I think...
Yeah, don't work for money. Let money work for you.
Let money work for you.
Absolutely.
And stay away from the...
No.
Forex. Stay away from the Forex traders.
Stay away from Forex who are selling you signals and education.
Is that the new thing now?
It's always... That's how they make their money.
They sell
it's
courses.
Always, yes. Mm. And...
To be like them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You see,
yeah.
But I mean...
Yeah.
They're also skidding.
Yeah.
So you go, you buy the course, you put your money there, you skid. You phone, you say, PH, manje. And he's like, hey, bro, even me. How much did you lose? No, 5,000. Me, I lost 500,000.
Ah,
see, I'm not driving the M4 anymore.
And all of them had M4s, eh? Yeah, all of them had M4s. But I think one thing that I've learned.
Like serious colors.
One thing that I've learned today is that Dingfunba Mashoni is some fun.
Keep can you tell you how big that industry is?
Yeah, I think
huge.
I've heard.
But please be legal.
No,
you can only charge certain amounts
above
the repo rate.
I've got my bror here.
Yeah.
Who's going to?
You can call me for evictions.
Yeah, you know.
Let me come and manage your property portfolio. That woman that's staying there for 14 years.
I
need to increase the rate. Yes.
But Mama, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your insights. Thank you very much for everything that you have shared. And we really hope for episode 2. And Mvana Gig.
Yeah, I know. We need to come and see you. We are broke here.
Hey, we need to. I want to be Mashonisa. Tell me how
Mashonisa.
But thank you very much for your
time.
And all the best. Please go out and get the book, firstly, on her website, not at the stores.
Fitnessbunny.co.za.
No,
financial bunny. What did I say? Fitness bunny. Financial.
I qualify for fitness too.
Ne? Shout out. And then, let's talk about that Skoroku, man.
Let's put it on the screen. Financial bunny.
Dion, please. Yeah, but yeah, thank
and
you very much for
the money bunny.
All of hit her up in the socials, hit her up on, hit her up on socials, get all that information. to you, my brother, to you, my sister, who's trying to make that purchase of a car, of a house, take it easy, get yourself informed, and let's stop making these crazy purchases, and let's educate ourselves with money. From us to you, Kaya, shout out, we're back next
take
week.
Take it easy, if it's easy, take it home.
Take it easy, and if it's easy, go understand what that clause means
exactly.
First.
Yes. Hey, sign.
Sign now then, understand what you're signing. And the biggest lie, I need to quote this again, the biggest lie on earth is I understand the terms and conditions of this agreement. Don't do that to yourself, my brother, my sister. We're out of here. It's Shady Podcast. See you next week. Quit it.
Phela mina ngiyinsizwa mina. Ngiyinsizwa.